Okay, hey, how are you doing today? Well, it was a Memorial Day weekend like no other, and I was here home, as so many were, and I hope that whoever went to the beaches or wherever you all might have gone, you were safe and sound and had a good time, basically. Memorial Day is a serious day. It's a day for remembrance of those that have lost their lives for freedom and for protecting America and or the countries of their own homeland. Memorial Day's all around the world. We're celebrating the American Memorial Day. So actually, I played the saxophone. That's why I played our little bluesy opening. And on our 79th and 80th Street group that have been out there every night, ringing the little bell here and singing and playing some instruments. So I played America, America. I'm going to say the words for America, America, because it's very, very powerful, the song. And today we also have a special treat. I did an interview some time ago with a friend, Irina Gubenko, who's a very smart woman. And I felt that in a spiritual way, good mindset, in a loving, caring way. And I thought I would share that interview with you all today. And I believe you're going to enjoy it. Hey, Bill, how you been? And so, boy, Bill, you sent some beautiful pictures of the sunset. A lot of good stuff. Okay, so let's go to the first, we're going to go to, as I mentioned, over the weekend, I think I'm going to go to America. For me, I had a big honor because I went out in my backyard and I played America, America on a saxophone. And some people sang the night before. And then the last night I did it again, 2 nights ago. And then last night I did it again. There's a horn player down the way closer to Columbus Avenue, and they played and I played, and people sang and yelled, and somebody went, USA, USA. So I just want to read these words. I mean, they're beautiful for America, but they're really a statement of I think life, and of I think well worth watching. Hi, Irina. Arenas who we're going to hear from today. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. I mean, it's so picturesque. For purple mountains' majesties. Bill, that's like your photos you just took. Above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet whose stem impassioned stress. A thoroughfare of freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God, mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, the liberty and law. I mean, it's just so powerful. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine. Till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. O beautiful for patriot dreams that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good and with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Okay, so that's the beauty of America. And here's Irina. So we're gonna hear this interview. I flub it as usual to begin with, but she's helped me with some Peace Day activities in New York City, and here we go.
Yeah. Are you sure?
She's such a sweetie. She didn't say, what a knucklehead you are, Paul.
Irina Gubenko.
She
Hi,
does.
Everyone.
She knows her name, and that's a very important kind of thing. How do you spell your last name?
Gubenko.
Now, how did you get that name?
Oh, it's a long story. Well, actually, I was born in Ukraine, and my grandfather is Ukrainian, and I got my last name from him.
From your father, grandfather.
From my grandfather and his family, that was passed on to my father and
passed on to you to and your me. Mother yes. and so on. Are your parents still living with us?
Yes.
And where are they?
They're here in New York City in the Bronx.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
What's their names?
Mariana and Michael.
You have a daughter, don't you?
I do have actually a daughter who's turning 20 tomorrow.
Really? Well, happy birthday to her. What's her name?
Gabriella.
What a beautiful name. So you know you've always been so happy. You helped us with our Peace Day outreach. You helped us with the city, the Respect for All program, because I know something about you. You are all about respect for all. That is like in your DNA. How did that become in your DNA? Because I see it, and I've known you for a bunch of years, and you handle everybody around you like they're really important, and you mean it. How did you do that?
Well, first of all, I truly believe that everyone is important. Every person has something valuable to bring to this planet, to our lives. Every person who crosses our path is there for a reason, either to teach us a lesson or to serve us in some way or to illuminate our path. So every person is a gift. And to your previous question, that respect for all, my family, because I come from such a mixed family of Jewish and Christian Orthodox, Ukrainians and Russians and Belarusians, my family was very accepting of everyone, always. I grew up in a family where we did not understand what it is to categorize someone based on their religion or based on their skin color or based on their beliefs or based on their values. And I was fortunate enough to grow up in this kind of environment of acceptance. And I'm super grateful for that. That shaped my perspective as a person. That's why when I speak to someone, for me, I see a person's soul. I see you. I don't see your color, I don't see your religion, I don't see your beliefs, I don't see your traumas. I see you.
Yay, good.
Yes, and that's where, for me, respect for all lies. It's just really meeting each person where they are on their journey and just accepting.
I call that no judgment, and I like no judgment. Mm-hmm. In fact, our whole broadcast for all these 20 years has done our best to try to stay on that path of no judgment, because the moment you start to judge, you probably, more than likely, you've made a decision that, you know, this, that, or so on about that person. And next thing you know, they open up their mouths and they say something, and it's almost like contrary to your whole brain. How can they say that? I know them like this, but you really don't. It's a waste of energy.
Yeah, and that's where our own awareness, we have to turn on our awareness and see how our biases come into place when we meet people. Because it's how we were raised. We were raised to put people in boxes. This is black, this is white, this is gray, this is good, this is bad, this is that. And we constantly, our mind is searching to how to categorize people. And so we can't really blame people for their judgments, because that's a learned behavior. That they learn to do that, and they do it without any awareness. To have no judgment takes awareness and takes everyday practice and really looking at yourself. And that's what my whole belief is, it is self-improvement. Looking at your own self and see, why are you judging this person? What is it in you that is making you say those things or believe those things? What is it that you're holding on to in your mind or in your ego that is preventing you to move forward as a person, as a soul? And it's not even important if it's true or not true about that person. It's all about you. Why are you having this judgment? And before we can judge others, I always say, who are you to judge this person? Are you perfect, Irina? Are you perfect? And who wants to be perfect anyway? That's another side of the story. But really, who am I to judge another person?
Well, it's a nice attitude and I believe a realistic attitude to the way to get through life and to enjoy life. Because the more you judge, the more stress you're putting on yourself. And we know stress kills. And so it's unhealthy. It puts clogs up your arteries. So yes. You are taking this now to another level. I know. I believe you also taught in school, in the school system, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure exactly what you did in the schools, but you've also taken a new professional, or not even new, utilizing this kind of philosophy, let's call it, to help others. What's going on?
Well, majority of my works revolves around helping men and helping women understand their beautiful potential as masculine as in feminine, because we have gone through so much in history and we're still at war with one another. Women are at war with men. Feminism was part of it, which I'm not blaming, please, feminists for anything. There was time and place in history for that, and women needed to step up and fight for their rights and equal opportunities and to be able to vote. This is all important stuff. But we are at the point of history where we fight, we take on a lot of that masculinity, and we approach men with a lot of that masculine energy, which, and men are, by nature, they are hunters. They like competition. They like this kind of, it's in their DNA, so they like this kind of energy. When they see a woman acting like that, they read it as a competition. They read it as someone who is going to challenge them. And this is not the way it's supposed to be. That's why we have a lot of conflict in the world in general, in marriages, in relationships, where men take on too much feminine, probably, and women take on too much masculine. And what I mean is, sometimes men, they forget that their role is to be providers, to be protectors, to be... this is a beautiful masculine energy. That's how it's always been. That's what women rely on for safety. They look at men as protectors. They look at men as for survival. And a lot of times men forget that. And they look at women as their equals. And women could be equal as far as salaries, as far as workplace. But when it comes to intimate relationship, a woman still wants to be a woman. But before a woman can be a woman, she needs to tap into her feminine nature. And she needs to tap into her feminine essence. And really understand that she's powerful as a woman. Not compete with men or power. Not get into power struggles with men. We have enough of that going on in the world. There's a way to do things. There's a way to say things as a woman. There's a way to make your partner understand you and hear you without putting men down. And for men, it's the same. You know, the same goes with men. There's a way to understand a woman, where a woman comes from, and women are all about expression, and sometimes they just want to express, and they want you to hold that space, and they want to have that safety, and they want to have that protection. So it's really understanding feminine and masculine polarities, and going back to that, to really cherish each other as feminine and masculine, really understanding your partner, communicating, connecting. That's mostly what my work revolves around.
So do you take a private session, or how does somebody take advantage of this brilliance? And I'm going to call it Oh, great.
Oh, thank you.
You have a really great perspective here. I've just learned some things that are extremely going to be helpful for me in my relationships and in my life. And thank you for that, because I'm not a youngster anymore. I've been, in marriage and in grandpaing and all kinds of things. And
beautiful.
I've just learned some ways that are going to be helpful for me, really, at this later age. What do I do? I call you up, I say, can we have a session together?
Yes.
Is it session
oriented? I do private consultations where we look at your patterns of communicating. It's all my work is about self-inquiry, to help you understand yourself, understand your toxic patterns that are preventing you to move forward in the relationship, finding real tangible ways of applying new learning into your life, to apply your own personal growth into your life and see changes. So not only it's a session where things get released and things get uncovered and there's certain awareness takes place, because many people, they just go in their everyday life and they're not even aware the toxic patterns they follow, and just going back to judgment. Some people don't know they're judging others. Same here. They don't know they're doing something wrong in the relationship, or maybe not, I shouldn't say wrong, but they just follow and learn behaviors that no longer serve them.
And they're probably doing what they usually do.
They usually do.
Because they don't know better to change. It's just like I'm saying. I just heard a couple of things that I think I literally change my relationship.
Like what? Like what's one thing that you
heard? I'll be open in the sense of that I'm open in the sense of everything. But in this sense of, became quite... The time, sorry, I'm 69, and I've lived through, the female, and I've done tons and tons of shows on the woman. All right, and my mother was a strong, however demure, polite, kind, loving, caring woman, but a professional, and a master's degree, and a librarian, and so on and so forth. And my father was who he was, and worked in a store, and I didn't finish high school, and made a living in the shoe store. My mother probably did equally as well as my father. And so, the woman's liberation, there wasn't liberation because my mother worked. She was at home too. But men now, I think, are also challenged in the sense of, like you're saying, the provider. And to the point that, it's because there are so many successful women in this world at this point. I've worked a lot for women in CBS, PBS, and so on and so forth. I think men are in a semi-crisis on how to handle that, professionally, because a woman could be strong, and you could say we're used to being strong, or so we just are good listeners if our vice president, mm-hmm. they're the president. But is it different when you then go home? And so that woman who was the high-powered, let's say, woman, in the professional world, I know you're saying she still wants to be a woman who, at home, without those professional kinds of conversations. But I don't know if that really does come so, and it's true. I know women who are very successful, but I feel like they're going to be in that way and seem to be strong, are equal to me, and then that's fine. But I guess I was more used to, early on, a woman who was not so equal. And I was more of the provider. And I needed to be, because that was just the way it was. But now it's a really pretty equal story here. So how do you deal with that?
And I love that. I absolutely love what you just said. I love what you just said. Because that's why it takes work on both sides. First of all, let me clarify, feminine and masculine polarity, we all have...
I don't mind showing my face. It's just easier this
way. We all have masculine and feminine polarities. Masculine polarity is all about holding space, allowing for expression. And I always use the analogy, masculine is creating a space, like in this room, we have space, right? We have a container. It's holding that sacred space that holds everything in it. And feminine expression is all the emotions, feelings, thoughts, everything. Like in this room, there are chairs, there's table, there's flowers. Without it, the room would be empty. And if we just had table and flowers and no space, where would we put it? That's why both are so important, feminine and masculine. It's and when you say when women are equal, we all genders have feminine and masculine. When they're at workforce, we step into our masculine. We bring out our masculine. The problem is when we go back home as women, we forget, we don't have the awareness sometimes to switch to feminine. Understand that we need to allow our man to be our man at home and to be, to make him feel like he's a provider and he's successful and he can make us happy, allowing him to be a man, allowing that space. And men, when they see a woman like that, it's really does not, how much money she makes does not become an issue anymore. If she can switch to be that woman at home, but also understanding from a man part that women need someone to hold that space for them, to listen, to be there for them, not necessarily fix things right away or respond or start going back and forth with things, just be there and hold that presence. And what, that's what masculine is, like this room, it's space, it's presence, it's what gives life to everything. So men have that incredible power. And so as women, so it takes work on both parts. It's not just up to men or up to women to make this happen. And that's what I do in my work to raise that awareness for both men and women, how they can be better partners, how they can be better lovers, how they can have that presence and hold that space for each other, how to unwind after a day of work, what needs to be brought into your space to create that connection.
Good things to think about when you're in a relationship.
Yeah, so. And we don't think, we just go about our day and we just do what we do unless it's too late. And marriage is kind of falling apart, and at this point there's a lot of hurt here and we don't even know where to start fixing it.
And it's usually, I think, in that reality, it's usually a conversation. And I always respect that. I think it's very helpful to have a third party in a conversation to understand you. I believe in therapy. I believe in all those kinds of opportunities. I look at them as another person's opinion of the way they see your life. You don't have to live by it. You don't have to accept it even. But it doesn't hurt to hear somebody else. It's like a good book. You know, somebody's telling you how to be relate, you know, all these self-esteem, self-help books, you know, they're all out there, you know, so you read it, you hear, you listen to this person, and you see how it fits you. But I like one-on-one, I like a human being, and so I'm sure you're a good listener, because I know this.
I work on this every day, and the power isn't within you. Everything is within you. What prevents us from seeing other people, judgments, manipulations, self-serving agendas. I call it stuff, ego stuff. And when I drop that, I see you clearly and I hear you clearly as a human being, and I hear what you're saying to me without having that in my heart. And the goal is to have that communication. And by the way, it's not only between men and women. I have some clients who are homosexual couples, and that goes both ways. Again, we have our polarities, masculine and feminine, within us. So it's really finding your way to hold the space and to listen and to understand without jumping to fix, without jumping to judge, or try to fit it in our box, in our mind somewhere where it fits. Really have an open mind and an open heart, and that requires work. Like you said, it requires personal work. Without loving yourself first and understanding yourself first, you will not be able to understand another human being.
Let me ask you two last questions, and this is going to be part one of many, okay? And you should write a book. If you didn't write one already, you should write
That's
a book.
That's a possibility. Thank you.
Okay, I've asked many people, what does peace mean to them? So, what does peace mean to you?
To me, peace and love are inseparable. Peace is a freedom to love and be loved unconditionally.
Well, then my last question was going to be, what does love mean to you? because we're created a love channel now. And what does love mean to you?
Love is a beautiful life force energy that spreads throughout your body, throughout your soul. And this is something we project into our world. And that is why it's so important to take care of yourself and to bring out that self-love. When I went to India this year, I spoke to a very profound doctor, Ayurvedic doctor. And he told me, he said, Irina, you service a lot of people. You give a lot of yourself. You give a lot of love. I said, yes, I do. I said, do you take care of yourself? How often do you take care of yourself? I said, well, I try to balance it. Of course, I have practices. And he says, no, yoga is a selfish practice. You have to love yourself and sit with yourself first before you can love others and spread that love into the world. I said, without this, everything else is not possible. So that's what love is to me. Love is really embracing who you are and sharing it with others.
Okay, Irina, thank you. I love you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul. Truly appreciate it. Peace and love to you. Hi, and everyone.
Thanks.
Okay, that was our interview. Actually, now we are going to do some yoga with Claire. So that was a nice interview with Irina. So we have thousands of people that are speaking about all good kinds of things. This is under the subject of our enlightenment. Actually, we have lots of shows on there, I think 4,000. Okay, so we've been doing this a long time because we believe in it. Let's go to some yoga now. This is the beginning of... This tape was put together by Claire for fire.
This is a very important section of the DVD. These are helpful hints that will help you and protect you. So, most important is that you're breathing deeply throughout the entire session. Breathing in and out through our nostrils. And we want to make sure that we keep our tongue at an energy point called fire point. So this energy point is on the ridge of the upper gum behind your two front upper teeth. This prevents you from clenching your teeth, tightening the jaw, and this can be done throughout the day. And especially when you're going to work, when you're on the job, when you're in a stressful situation, tongue at fire point, but best to keep it there all the time, except when eating and speaking. The fire point is, again, I'll just demonstrate, on the ridge of the upper gum. Your mouth is shut, so no one sees it, okay? And it's just gently the tip of the tongue. Just connects with the fire point. It's like connecting this really powerful circuit of energy that flows up the back of the body and down the front. And when you're on and off the job, climbing stairs, in that situation where there's, you know, some tenseness and stress, remember, tongue at fire point. It's very, very powerful. And through the whole routine, tongue at fire point, and all day long, except when you're eating and speaking. And if you do this right before you go to sleep, you won't grind your teeth. So it takes some practice and getting used to, but it's really powerful.
Okay. Thank you, Claire. Just practice that for the rest of the day. You'll be okay. All right. So let's take a moment outside and just meditate for a moment. And still concerning period of time with the pandemic, and I got a lot of pansies, and I'm hoping that they're going to take here. It's kind of exciting, but they've been just moved, so I think they're under shock. So at 7 o'clock today, we'll come out here again and ring a bell for our hardworking heroes. All right, thank you everybody for tuning in today, and remember once again our belief of you are loved There it is, love. Caring, goodwill, warm affection, devotion, or empathy. Empathy is a beautiful word and a beautiful action, of course. All right, thank you, everyone. 7 o'clock tonight, and have a great and a healthy and a happy day. And we are a nonprofit, and there's a link there if anybody's able to help us out in some kind of a donating way. Thank you very much.